the Premier League on OTB. Exclusive Premier League live commentaries every Sunday. The very best expert analysis on your phone and for free. Download the OTB Sports app now.
Not so difficult to stop Manchester United, it turns out, at the weekend. Mark Lawrenson, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, boys. You?
Yeah, I mean, this time last week, everybody was talking about Pogba, best player in the world, this Manchester United team going to go the whole way. And now we're like, ooh, hang on a second. Southampton looked pretty good against Manchester United.
Yeah, they were decent because I didn't really fancy them given the result to Everton being 1-0 up and getting done 3-1 and looking a little bit ragged at times. But he made a couple of signings. He's a good manager, isn't he, this Hasselhoedtl guy? He's obviously, he knew when he was losing players exactly in terms of recruits who he wanted, and it would appear that he's got them. The lad they signed from Blackburn, Armstrong, actually should have scored yesterday. They could have won, couldn't they? It was a fab chance for him. And I thought he would have taken it. He seemed to rush it a little bit. But, well, it's a bit Man United under Ollie, isn't it? Sort of, it can be brilliant one week or brilliant one half and then very, very ordinary. And I'm not quite sure how he deals with that.
Is it too simplistic to point at the existence of Nemanja Matic and Fred and say, there is your problem, Manchester United?
I think it's a problem. And I don't, for the life of me, understand why he plays two in there. You know, McTominay as well, he's normally in there. In fact, he came on yesterday, didn't he? But I don't get it. You know, they've got these probably five or six really outstanding players. You don't need two holding players in there at all, and it's just a waste of a position for me. And I mean, obviously Pogba did well for the goal, didn't he, yesterday? And he did well first game of the season. And you just wonder, could he not come up with a formation where he's free? Because it's obvious when you give him no responsibilities or small responsibility, he just goes everywhere. It's a bit like, you know, your best player at school when you're about 11 or 12 who just kind of ran everywhere and was kind of, you know, making things happen and scoring and all those kind of things. And I think that's the way you get the best out of him. So I don't get it, but obviously that's the manager's choice.
I know Manchester City lost the opening game of the season against Spurs, and we were kind of at that point talking about where they were going to be, but I don't know if that's going to be a level of inconsistency Manchester City have over the rest of the season. We've seen them go on runs. We haven't seen Man United put a sustained title challenge together essentially since the Ferguson era. So we're very right to be cautious now about whether or not Man United are legitimate title contenders, even after only two games, because this is a pattern that we've seen before.
Yeah, I think it's a pattern under the manager. And, you know, don't forget they've signed a lot of players, and they signed quite a lot of quality players, waiting for Varane as well at the moment, as everybody knows. So yeah, it's basically, you know, Fergie's DNA was like, chuck loads of attackers on and on you go, and, you know, go win games from not winning situations. But it seems different with Ollie. Just I don't know what it is with him, because, you know, he's not even really tried just that one in there. That one holding midfield player. He doesn't even have to be a holding midfield player anymore, because the game's really changed. I mean, you know, you look at other teams and, all right, Arsenal, you might say Xhaka, and Liverpool really have a holding midfield player. Not really. Kante might, you'd say, at Chelsea. But you only need one. It just seems such a waste. So it remains to be seen whether they can actually be that or get that consistency.
One of the things that came out in the post-match comments was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer bemoaning the direction football is going, saying football is turning into rugby a day after Jurgen Klopp said you may as well watch WWE instead. Football's got too physical, Mark.
Do me a favour. I mean, you know, Burnley were Burnley, and you know that. And, you know, look, Van Dijk and Matty, big, strong, 6'3", 6'4" bloke. So you've got to cope with it. No, I don't know. It just seemed a little bit as though that was the kind of statement from the managers for the weekend, in terms of, oh yeah, it's getting a bit, you know, it's getting a bit like rugby. It's this, it's that, it's whatever. No, it's the Premier League, and that's the way that it is. And I think, to be honest with you, I think we're having better games and the referees are just letting one or two things go. And I think this is all down to COVID, obviously, as well, because the game was, or the referees were, I thought, were really, really good. And now it's fine, isn't it? It wasn't a great problem. I mean, you know, I don't think yesterday, looking at Man United, there was the odd foul maybe that you think might have been given a foul and wasn't given a foul. But you didn't look at it and thinking, you know, the refs lost control of this and everybody was obviously fouling each other. I just didn't get that impression from watching.
Let's move on to the Liverpool performance, and the team that he's been picking has been interesting to see how the midfield in particular, obviously. Gini Wijnaldum is gone. He's kind of a bit of a mainstay over the last couple of years, and everybody was quite curious to see exactly what was going to happen. And it turns out they have plenty of strength and depth if everybody's fit, particularly when the kids come into the team and start playing well. Just how good is Harvey Elliott?
Well, I think if he continues, sometimes it can be a big if. It'll be a really, really good player. I saw him a few times out on loan at Blackburn last season, and technically was head and shoulders above everybody, maybe apart from Armstrong, the boy who's gone to Southampton. The great thing with him, he plays football with his head up, which you know, is a real bonus. He sees passes, as you saw at the weekend, and he worked extremely hard defensively, did his job as well. I think he's going to be, you know, a big player. Whether he plays next week against Chelsea, I think, is a completely different question. Because obviously the way that Chelsea have started, and you won't want to give them much room and time, especially in midfield. So, but he's going to be a player, I'm told. His attitude is absolutely fab. He wants to stay behind at training. He wants to practice different things, etc. So he's given himself every chance of being a really, really good player. He's just a little bit kind of hesitant to say he's going to be, you know, he's going to be this or he's going to be that, because we've seen lots of these before, but it looks like he's going to be a top player, shall we say.
It does seem as well that his certain attributes fit in quite nicely with what Jurgen Klopp wants his midfielders to do. Like, for example, obviously Naby Keita is a much better footballer perhaps, but in terms of him fitting into the system, maybe it hasn't really looked like a great fit over the last couple of years. Whereas with Harvey Elliott at the weekend, it looked like he was even doing the Jordan Henderson thing of popping up on the flanks and helping out the fullbacks and doing that sort of seamlessly. So that probably is a massive tick in his box.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's all part of your education as a footballer. So if you think about it, I mean, he was predominantly on the right-hand side, and he's got Trent behind him and obviously Salah in front of him. So, you know, obviously once Trent goes, you've got to sit in a little bit. But they'll get that. I mean, that's the difference now, you know, in the way that football is, that you can sit these lads down and show them when they've played, exactly how they've played, and in certain situations where you would expect them to be. I mean, you know, it was something that we never had sort of 20 years ago, and they are far more aware and wary of what's needed from them and how to play in certain situations, and sometimes when to go, when not to go, you know, when to take somebody on, when just to release the ball, etc. So it's made a big difference for them. I mean, you got the thing in, and you've got to talk about your own day, because that's all you really know, is that we just went out and sort of played. We thought we knew what we were doing. But if you had all this as well, all this kind of stuff where they, you know, they can stop the VT and look at it and say, well, you know, why have you done that? You should be here and all that kind of thing. I think we all might have been better players.
It sort of feels that this Saturday evening, then, Mark, is kind of the first real significant moment in the season. I guess not least because the Liverpool centre-backs will get their first proper test this season with the way Lukaku looked yesterday. What can Liverpool do to stop him, and how good, I guess, did Lukaku look in his return to the league yesterday?
Let's deal with the second thing first. It just looked so easy, although I have to say that Arsenal were abysmal. Mm. And there's one thing about Lukaku is you've almost got to let him have the ball when it comes, because if you want to fight him, you just can't. Although I think Van Dijk and Matic might have a go at it, but if you keep him facing the wrong way, then obviously that's going to be a bonus. But I mean, Arsenal just got it completely wrong, and the second thing would be to try and deny the service into him as well. But listen, you know, playing against West Ham, sorry, West Ham, it's the colours that have done me in. Playing against Burnley, is actually a good rehearsal for playing against Lukaku, because, you know, the two Burnley boys, the two boys up front, big, strong, and they batter into you. So it won't be much difference. It's just that this guy, Lukaku, has got far more qualities than the two Burnley boys. And also he's a goal scorer. He's got fabulous pace as well. So it's going to be it's going to be tasty, I think, Saturday evening, isn't it?
Is that Chelsea team close to their first choice now? Are we getting to the point where we think Tuchel has decided, this is how I'm going to play, these are the personnel I'm going to have, and actually it's going to be harder for players to get in and out of that team? Last season there was a lot of chopping and changing.
Yeah. I think he knows his team, and you can't say that Lukaku's the final piece of the jigsaw, but he's going a long way to being so. And I think he identified that that his strikers last year were a little bit lightweight, which they are, and you know, I think it's a fabulous piece of business. And you know, Lukaku is, and wherever he's gone, he's just got better, and he's very, very confident. Obviously, he's played in different countries now, as we know, which also helps as well. And he'll get some really, really good service at Chelsea from, you know, his habits and Warner and Mount and all those kind of players as well. So they've got a really, really good side, obviously.
On the other side of things, you mentioned Arsenal were abysmal yesterday, especially in that first half. Mikel Arteta, after the match, I don't want to say he was maybe aloof of the fans' reaction in the stadium, but he was certainly denying any negativity in the ground when he was speaking to Sky after the match. Is that what you want to hear from your manager? Is it is it at least showing that there's a bit of fight left in him, or are you thinking at this point, well, it's a sign of curtains?
Well, we don't know what he said to his players in the dressing room. And, you know, he basically defended them. He knows that he's struggling, but just everything about Arsenal, probably in the last, you know, two and a half years, is this used to be a fabulously well-run football club, obviously outstanding players. They were very, very difficult to beat, and you know, they were all strong, etc. You know, you can go back and name up on all those teams. They've lost their identity completely, and now what it is that they're an easy team to play against. Yeah, they've still got some good players, and in all honesty, the kids are as good as anybody in that team. But you get your Lacazettes and Aubameyangs, and you're looking at them and you're thinking, are you really giving everything for this football club? I'm not sure that they are, and I just wonder whether, I hate that thing where they say, oh, the manager's too nice. Maybe the manager is too lenient rather than being too nice. He's taken Odegaard in, obviously, as well, so I suppose that will help. But you look at them and you just think, sixth, maybe seventh, maybe eighth, and they might have a little run at some stage, but I just think they're too easy to beat, and I don't think it takes that much to beat them as well.
When you mentioned that he could be a little bit too lenient on the players, You could also mention the fact that the board will have looked at the amount of investment that has gone into that squad over the past two summer windows in particular. This all paints a picture of the walls narrowing in on Mikel Arteta, and if you're going to pick a scapegoat for what's gone wrong over the last little while, well, you can't really blame the board for the investment that they've put in. It's going to come down to the manager.
Oh, it is, and it's results time. I mean, I don't know if they play this weekend, but it's very much. Where are they?
City.
Good luck with that one. Mm. So it is. I think they'll wait with the manager probably until 10 games and then make a decision. But I don't know, when something kind of goes wrong there, it goes spectacularly wrong at Arsenal. And they've just got no spine. What's his name, the midfield player, Xhaka, was going to Roma, wasn't he? And then all of a sudden someone's decided, oh no, why don't we just give him another year at Arsenal? Xhaka's like hit and miss at Arsenal. Yes, he was good in the Euros, but he's if you look at his form playing for Arsenal, he's ordinary at best. So you kind of, I'm thinking, of, is the manager thinking, oh, if I let him go, he might be really good at Roma, and maybe I'll just keep him. But it just doesn't sound convincing, Mikel Arteta, at all. I know he's a really, really nice bloke as well, but it doesn't help. And I think the other problem as well now is you can't tear into players. That's a massive thing. Players now are basically untouchable, and unless you're very, very kind of cute with it, like you say, Klopp, Guardiola to a certain degree, like Fergie was, you've just got to be very, 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 very careful, because you know they just kind of down tools and say, "Well, I'll stuff you."
Mm. Last thing I wanted to ask you about was the future of Declan Rice. There's talk that he's a bit unhappy about the amount of money that West Ham are looking for him if they were to sell him. He's got 3 years left on his deal, though. So he's not really in a particularly strong position here, Declan Rice. And it's kind of a bit like Harry Kane. He's like, oh, I want to go. But actually, you've got a contract, mate. That's how life works.
Well, yeah, he wasn't complaining when he signed on the dotted line, was he? I don't see him going In this transfer window, because I don't think Moisey will let him go, and he's kind of building his team somewhat around him. I think they know ultimately, West Ham, that they might have to sell him, because the offer that comes in is absolutely ridiculous. And for a homegrown player, you know, it would be fantastic for the football club, although you'd have to get a replacement. But I think it's the classic, isn't it? He's been away with England, played in the Euros, and they'll all be nibbling at him. Some of the other players who play for the big clubs will be nibbling at him, saying, come on, Declan, come on, come and play for us. What are you wasting your time playing for West Ham for? And all those kind of things, which has always happened. But I think he's a decent, I'm told he's a really decent lad. He's obviously a very, very good player. But I don't see him leaving West Ham shortly. So probably by Wednesday afternoon, he'll be gone.
they haven't signed anyone, West Ham, this window,
no.
Mark. Like, if you're manager of that club now, do you need to start getting your ducks in a row to A, get the maximum amount of money for him, and B, start planning who you're going to buy with the money, rather than, I don't know, a Tottenham Gareth Bale money situation?
I think Moisey's planning. I think there's no doubt about it. And I know they've made loads of phone calls for all sorts of different players. It may be just at the moment they're kind of not so much the ducks in a row. They're kind of working out how much it would cost them altogether. But you see, he's in such a strong position. He signed a new contract, and he's in basically total control of the football side and everything. And he says that, you know, the two owners, Just leave him to get on with it. And he said, from that point of view, they're really, really good. And Karen Brady does all the stuff when she needs to do. But he just said, I'm just doing the football, and picking the players, and obviously trying to buy the players. So he'll buy. I'm pretty sure he'll buy one or two. It's obviously just a case of who. So, because they need some players. I mean, Lingard came on yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah.
Towards the end, he's not going to start at Manchester United, is he? And I think it's one of those a little bit like, oh well, you know, if you ring up Ollie today, well, he played yesterday, he's part of my plans and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure Moisey would take him, although he did say that they got him at absolutely the right time. And I said, what do you mean? He said. He enjoys his life. I thought it was a great statement. He enjoys his life. And I said, yeah. He said, well, it was lockdown. It was COVID. He said, so basically, you know, came in training and he went back to his apartment or his hotel, and that's where he was. So I thought that was a probably modern insight into the way that some of the footballers are at the moment. But he definitely take, because he said he was like a breath of fresh air, and he just gave them something that they obviously didn't have. And Antonio's a really, really good player, you know, and he's big and he's strong, but he suffers from his hammies all the time, doesn't he? I think you have to be very, very careful with him in training and stuff like that. But the problem, as Moisey said, is that he's such a big lad, he needs loads of work, you know. But the problem is, you give him too much work, his hammies start to twang a little bit, so leave it with him.
It's weird how tenuous these things are. Antonio's hamstrings dictate whether or not the whole season is going to be a brilliant season or a mediocre season, and that's football.
Yeah. Well, listen, that's managing, isn't it? That's that whole thing. Is it, you know, is it carrot or the stick? But, you know, again, going back, Borneo, in our days, it was the stick. And, you know, you'd come in at half-time or full-time and you weren't performing and you got it. And you got it from, like, you know, Paisley Fagan and Ronnie Moran. It was like triple barrel stuff. And then you get it from, you know, Souness and Dalglish, whatever. But it's just the way that it's changed. And it's unfortunate because so many players now, just if you shout at them, it's just head down. It's not so much down tills, but it's just like, oh, head down. And you know, next thing is a manager, you'll get a phone call on the Monday after the Saturday and, well, my player doesn't particularly like being shouted at and all that kind of rubbish. But that's the way you've just seriously got to manage it. And as Moyes always says to me, he said, but the bottom line is, he said, if you crack on Saturday or Sunday, you can run them on Monday and Tuesday. So, which probably is the revenge bit.
Mark, good stuff. Thank you for joining us this morning. Cheers.
Pleasure.
It's Mark Lawrence and giving us some thoughts on the weekend's football.
The Premier League on OTB.
Rashford pings it into Cavani! Edison Cavani wins it!
Exclusive Premier League live commentaries every Sunday. The very best expert analysis on your phone and for free. Download the OTB Sports app now.